Lowell Thomas and the News.
Good evening, everybody. At the last minute in Moscow, a cancellation of this morning's scheduled talk between Kissinger and Soviet leader Brezhnev. Brezhnev meeting with other members of the ruling Soviet Politburo. Dr. Kissinger refusing to view the cancellation as an ill omen, saying, "You can look on it the other way." He then had lunch with Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko in an exchange of toasts, both pledging a continuation of Soviet-American cooperation. Gromyko adding that he hoped the current meetings would produce good, or better still, excellent results. Then Brezhnev and Kissinger did get together tonight. Their talk said to have been businesslike and most constructive. In the North Indian states of Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, an epidemic of smallpox. Some 24,000 reported cases in 2 months. Now 80 more in the great capital city, New Delhi. Result, a grim house-to-house search throughout the capital. New Delhi health teams, aided by experts from the World Health Organization, attempting to track down additional victims, attempting to halt the spread of the disease before it sweeps over all of Hindustan with its vast population. Portuguese Mozambique, a head-on crash between a Portuguese freight train and a passenger train from nearby Rhodesia, the train was. The freight said to be carrying fuel. Both trains immediately burst into flames. First reports indicate at least 60 dead. For Mozambique, the worst train wreck ever. Topeka, Kansas, a dissertation on the psychology of kidnapping from Dr. Herbert Modlin, director of preventive psychiatry at the Menninger Institute. Dr. Modlin saying, in many parts of the world, life is relatively cheap, but Americans value it highly, so are willing to pay hundreds of thousands to get it back. Dr. Modlin adding, in short, we are softies and are being taken advantage of. From Hermosillo, Mexico, the kidnapping of U.S. diplomatic official John Patterson, still something of a mystery. Our State Department refuses any details in the interest of the safety of the individual. And in Mexico, the official government policy is no negotiations with kidnappers. At the Mitchell Stans trial in New York City, John Dean was on again today. Attorneys for both defendants hammering away at the former White House counsel, attempting to point up alleged discrepancies in what he told the president, according to tape transcripts, and what he has since testified in open court. Along the way, Dean, twice reprimanded by Judge Gagliardi for making comments beyond the scope of the questions asked. The second time, the judge, rather angry, said, "I don't want to reprimand you again." A three-man delegation from Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party arrived in Manila, the Japanese bearing a check for $1 million, a token of gratitude for the recent safe return of World War II holdout Lieutenant Hiro Onoda. The check to President Marcos for some good cause. However, Marcos refused to accept it, saying the return of Onoda was an act of hospitality for which we do not expect anything in return. Postscript on last night's heavyweight championship fight at Caracas between Foreman and Norton. As you perhaps know, the champ all but destroyed Norton, scoring a TKO in the second round, whereupon Muhammad Ali, whom Foreman may meet next, went down the hallways, pounding on doors, especially on one where he shouted over and over, "Get me Foreman, get me Foreman." The only trouble, he was pounding on Norton's door. When told so, he walked away, we hear, muttering. And now Bill, who never, never mutters.
It's an occupational no-no for both of us, Lowell.
I don't give a damn.
Gone with the Wind, one of the greatest films of all time. And this year, another blockbuster seems destined for a place in movie history, The Exorcist. Jason Miller talks about preparing for the role that earned him an Academy Award nomination.
I went down to Georgetown, and I stayed there for 3 weeks with the Jesuits, learning the rubrics of the Mass again. I also read the original diary of the exorcism of a 14-year-old boy by two Jesuits, from which Blatty based his story.
Blockbuster movies, the past and the present. You'll hear about them and hear from stars like Betty Davis, Kirk Douglas, Dustin Hoffman, Ingrid Bergman, Rita Moreno, Jack Lemmon, Joan Crawford, and many more on The American Movie, a new weekend special this Saturday and Sunday with host Lee Jordan. 30 different broadcasts about The American Movie on the CBS Radio Network.
Where is your next story from, Lowell?
Nuevo Laredo. The streaking fad here in the USA seems to have run its course. In foreign lands, ho-ho. At Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, a downtown streak by three women. The three complaining about unfair competition from non-professionals. In Kenya, Nairobi, a government order calling for the arrest of anyone found streaking, especially anyone from a foreign country, then to be deported instanter, in quote, exactly the same attire as when apprehended. And so long until tomorrow.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. The fear you can hear. This is the story of a natural-born loser. Within the quietest and most retiring of the genus Homo sapiens, there lurks a tiger, as indeed it lurks in all of us. It takes only the right combination of intolerable pressures, unfulfilled dreams, and the opportunity to escape the first and realize the second to make even the worm turn, which is just what happened to Henry Green.
I do a lot of dreaming. When you're married to someone like Florence, you got to do something. But I never figured any of those dreams to come true. Revenge dreams. You know, like,
it is the decision of this court that you, Florence Green, be removed to a suitable place and hanged by the neck until you are dead.
Maybe it's hung. I never remember, like,
it's all right, Dr. Willoughby. I know you did your best to pull her through, but it's God's will that prevails in the end. Florence is gone. Forever.
Someone yaks at you like Florence and steps on your toes everything you want to do and has to be on you every moment and won't let you out of the house alone.
I'm telling you, it's simply murder. So I dream a lot about my wife just not being. But I never thought of actually causing her not to be. I never really meant to end up a murderer.
Our mystery drama, It's Simply Murder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jack Guilford. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K.
Presents Overweight on an Overnight Train.
Is this seat taken?
Please, sit down.
Thanks.
You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service, and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach. This year, 250 million people are expected to pass through U.S. Customs. If every one of them knew the customs rules and regulations that affected him, customs lines would probably move a lot faster. Hello, this is William Conrad. If you're planning a trip abroad this year, get free customs hints available at the U.S. Customs District office nearest you. It's listed in your phone book under U.S. Government.
One of the simplest and most fiendish devices to drive men mad is the Chinese water torture. The slow drip of water, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour on the forehead. Unending, inescapable, inexorable. Henry Green's life was like that, both in his work and at home.
Did you wash up all your breakfast dishes?
Yes, Florence.
You left the spoons up so they drain?
Yes.
Put out the garbage?
Yes.
And you cleaned out the sink?
Yes, Florence.
You wrung out the sponge?
Yes. Look, I just...
Don't you move until I'm finished talking to you. Now, look, I want you right straight home here after the bank closes tonight.
Well, some of the boys...
Oh, don't give me any... Some of the boys...
But just a drink to say bon voyage.
But you'll have all the bon voyage on the cruise when we leave tomorrow. Although, don't think there'll be any drinking going on there either. There's enough money being spent on this vacation now.
It's the first real vacation we've taken since our honeymoon.
And we wouldn't be having it if I hadn't made you save for it.
I didn't start saving the money for the cruise.
I know. You wanted to save it for a smelly, dangerous, noisy old motorcycle. Well, I wasn't having any of that.
I always wanted one. All my life...
Oh, stop it. You're too old for one now anyway.
How do you know what?
What was that?
I said, now, do you know that I've got to leave or I'll be late for the bank?
Well, don't forget to pick up the suitcase.
What suitcase?
Your old one that Travis' luggage is repairing.
Oh, all right.
And mine to come right home after... Watch out for the cat!
Ouch!
You clumsy fool, you stepped on him.
I didn't. He tried to run out of the door and he bit me.
Serves you right. He knows you don't like him.
Once I left the house, I always tried to put Florence out of my mind. And the best way to do that was to think about Sherry Woods. Not that I could do any more than think about her, because she was Mr. Mercer's day and night, if you know what I mean. But more and more, I guess I was getting to the dangerous age, because I sure did a lot of thinking about Sherry. Well, that's 10, 20, 30, 35, 40, 45, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 makes 50. Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
You.
See you next week.
You haven't any more customers, Henry. Close your window.
Why, Sherry, Mr. Mercer wants to see me?
I want to see you. Meet me in the conference room.
Of course, if you say so. But what's wrong?
Everything. As far as we're concerned. Unless maybe we have the nerve to try to put it right. Anyway, it's something we can't talk over here. Meet me where I said. What kept you so long?
Mr. Mercer, he stopped me.
You still think I'm attractive?
Well, Sherry, knowing how I felt for you all this time, you have to ask?
Yeah, I want to be quite sure. Come here, Henry.
Where?
Here. Right close against me. Put your arms around me.
Suppose someone should come in.
I slipped the automatic lock on the door before you came in. We're quite safe.
I don't feel that way.
I meant from being interrupted. Now kiss me.
Sherry, I'm a married man.
Oh, don't tell me you don't want to.
Sherry, you could make me do anything, but... Oh,
make me do anything.
All right. That's enough.
Oh, I never kissed anyone like this.
It's a good thing. You'd be arrested.
It'd be worth it. Let's do it again.
Well, we could do it forever. If you wanted to.
But I'm married.
Well, we could make a few changes. Henry, when you get back from your trip, are you still expected to be promoted?
Well, Mr. Mercer has practically promised me...
Don't forget Sam Mercer's promises. I ought to know how little they're worth. We, my darling, are out.
My darling?
Did you hear the other part?
What do you mean, we're out?
You know in your heart, you'll never be vice president. And I've been fired.
He can't do that to you.
Well, he already has.
You mean Mr. Mercer has, changed his affections?
I mean that lousy, pot-bellied little two-timer has gone right off the deep end for Miss Fancy Pants.
Gosh, Sherry, I am sorry. If there's anything I can do...
Henry, love, there's plenty you can do to help. You and me are going to be rich. Together. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Look, I better get back to my cage.
Is that where you think you belong?
Well, I am head teller and...
In a cage? Oh, you're a man, not a mouse. Now's the time for you to prove it. Grab the world by the tail. How'd you like to travel the world, live like royalty, never have to punch a time clock, get away from handling other people's money, have it be your own? Both of us. Just you and me.
Us? But Sherry, I mean, even if there wasn't Florence, I don't have any money. She's got it all.
Oh, then that settles it. I'm going to remake your life.
How?
Well, why don't we have lunch together, and I'll tell you.
Where? The sandwich shop?
No. Let's make it the gourmet. At 12:30.
But that's terribly expensive.
Oh, Henry, love, that's the way you and me are going from here on in. If you go along with me.
You know, I want to, but how?
I'll tell you that. After the second martini.
I don't think I've ever had two martinis in a row. Certainly not in the middle of the day.
Well, that's the whole trouble with you, Henry. You haven't really lived.
That's because I haven't wanted to.
Well, if you really want, you gotta take. I guess we both learned that today.
We sure did. The boat sailed for both of us.
Yeah, well, there's another boat sailing tomorrow that I'm more interested in. It's the one I wish I was taking with you.
Oh, but what could I do with Florence?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to discuss.
We are?
The best way to get rid of your wife. It's what we both want, isn't it?
Florence would never give me a divorce. And even if she did, she'd want a big alimony. I just couldn't afford you, Sherry.
Well, I won't deny I'm expensive, but you could easily afford me.
How?
Cy Mercer and his new lady love are leaving early for a weekend in Bermuda. Monday's a holiday. They won't be back till Tuesday morning. It won't be till then that they discover the money is missing.
What money?
The money in the teller's drawers. How much do you think it adds up to?
Well, it's the end of the month. Payday for most people. The deposits have been heavy, somewhere between $600,000 or $700,000. Why? What do you want to know?
I just wanted to know how much we're going to steal.
Shh.
It's all right, dear. No one's listening to us.
I'm not listening to you. You must be mad. Steal it for what?
For us to enjoy the rest of our life together.
Together? What about Florence?
Yeah. What about Florence?
I just can't wish her dead, you know.
Well, I don't see why not.
You mean kill her?
How many times? times if you wanted to.
Almost every day. But that's different. I would never do anything about it.
Not even for me?
It isn't that. I wouldn't know how. Anyway, it's all impossible.
Why?
But it takes two keys to close and open the teller's vault. Mine and Mr. Mercer's.
Oh, you mean this one?
How did you...
Well, I told you he was leaving early. He gave me his key to close the vault tonight with Mr. Schaefer.
But Schaefer doesn't have the other key. I have.
Yeah, but Cy thinks Schaefer's going to have it because he's instructed me to tell you to give it to Schaefer and tell him we'd be locking up while you're gone.
So we have full access to the money.
Yeah, until the outer door is closed with the time lock.
And then the vault can't be opened until Tuesday. But I'd be trapped on the ship out at sea, and then
I... Henry, after you've taken the money, you never get on that ship.
I've always wanted to take a cruise, and Florence wouldn't...
There isn't going to be any Florence, Henry. Remember?
But where could we hide?
With enough money, you can hide anywhere. You'd shave off your mustache, get contacts instead of those wire-rimmed glasses, a mod wig. I'd cut my hair short, dye it blonde, and get a nose bob, and put on a little weight in the right places. We'd be new people.
I always wanted to have a beard.
So, all right, grow a beard.
Florence would never let me.
Listen, Florence won't be around to object.
Would I really have to kill her?
What other way around is there?
None. The trouble is, I wouldn't know how.
Well, I thought of that, Henry. Here.
What is it?
It's a bottle of sleeping pills. Just dissolve them in a nice hot cup of tea for Florence. What more do you want?
I think I'll have another martini. I couldn't believe it was me sitting in an expensive restaurant, drinking in the middle of the day, and planning to murder my wife. Then I started in to think about the 20 years I'd already had with Florence, and the 20 or more I still might have to spend with her. And killing Florence began to make sense, maybe. I stole a look at Sherry, who was powdering her nose. It looked pretty good to me like it was, and I didn't see where she didn't have enough in all the right places to stuff it with. That's when I made up my mind. Florence had to go.
Henry Green, 5'9", 148 pounds, mouse-haired, mild, 45 years old, and safely mounted on a treadmill, running day by day to stand in the same place. A man in a cage, both at work and at home, but now in the grip of the mating urge, a tiger. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
What with all this oil shortage and all, Mrs. Nye talking about having our furnace checked out. I wonder what we should do.
I can give you some advice about what to do.
Yeah? Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. Now, it may be true that your furnace is in need of repair or even replacement. But don't be rushed into such a decision. Shop around. Get two or three estimates. Don't sign any contract until you have read and understood it thoroughly. And if the installation requires alterations to your home, be sure a permit has been obtained if required. And don't sign a completion certificate until that work has been satisfactorily completed. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Reserves are looking for a few good men to help keep the peace. We're looking for men who understand that nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. We We want men who want to see their children grow up in an age of peace. Men who will do more than wish for it. Men who will work for it. Men who don't need the draft to know there's a job to be done. Men who ask themselves what they can do for their country and do it. We're looking for a few good men to stand with the Marine Corps Reserve. No shortcuts, no compromises, no promises except one. You'll be a Marine, and you'll be ready. That's the job of a peacekeeper.
One thing you can say for Henry Green. Once set loose, there's nothing small about his new way of life. Within one day, he is all set to break three of the major commandments, the sixth, seventh, and eighth. Although not necessarily in that order. Murder and adultery will have to wait their turn. At the moment, he is occupied with the eighth. And grand larceny at that.
All right, Sherry. That was the last teller. Is she gone?
Yeah.
All right. Let's open up. There. That's mine. Now yours. That does it. Now get the suitcase from behind the desk while I open the vault.
Here it is, Henry.
Put it flat on the floor and open it.
You hand me the money, and I'll pack it in.
Hope there's enough room for all of it.
Just take out big bills and leave a chicken feed.
No. Better take everything. Empty drawers are easier to handle.
What is it?
Somebody's coming. Hide the suitcase.
Get the vault door.
Give me the bag. Oh, well, all closed up, Miss Woods. Time to go. Why, Miss Burpee? To forget something?
Oh, and Mr. Green, honest, I'm just so embarrassed. I sure hate to ask you, but...
But what?
Well, there's something I want to check in my teller's drawer. Would you please open up the vault?
What?
Yeah, but we just closed that. We can't.
Oh, you got it. I have to know if it's missing.
Is what missing?
My engagement ring. You see, I usually take it off and put it in the drawer till I go home, and... Tonight, I forgot to take it out.
Well, can it wait till Monday?
Oh, we're all.
Well, Tuesday.
No, I got dates with Horace over the weekend, and oh, he'd have a fit if I wasn't wearing it. Besides, I've got to be sure if it is there.
Uh-huh, well, maybe you put it in your handbag.
Oh, no, I looked there first thing, because I did go to wash my hands. I know I took off the ring. Oh, now I remember. Yeah, right here in my jacket pocket. Oh, gee, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I guess I'll be getting along home. Sorry, I didn't see the suitcase.
I was having the handle fixed before I packed it to go on my vacation.
Oh, gosh, you don't have to explain to me. I didn't think you were robbing the bank or nothing. I got to run. Well, one of the other girls is waiting for me.
Just let me make sure she's gone. And for God's sakes, let's pack up and get out of here. We were both shaking like we had a fever after that run-in with Bird Brain Burpee. But somehow we managed to pack the money in the bag and close the outside door with a time lock. Going home in the cab, the tension was so bad, I was tempted to take one of the sleeping pills myself to calm me down, but I resisted that. One crime leads to another. I was committed. If I lost my wits now, I stood to lose everything.
Well, it's about time you got home.
I had to close up the bank.
At least I see you remember to bring the suitcase. I'll take that.
No. I mean, I'll do my own packing.
You? You can't even fold a bath towel.
Well, this time I'll show you. I want you to get a little rest, dear. I'll take care of myself.
No, I'm not going to argue. Go ahead. Throw everything in. Higgledy-piggledy. I'll repack in the morning. You've been drinking.
Well, I... just the sort of party because...
I hope you didn't get too giddy so you can't manage to take your dinner out of the oven.
Where are you going?
Over to Mama's to leave Pussy. She's going to take care of him till we get back.
Oh. Okay. Will you be long?
I don't know. Why? I'm all packed. I have no problems.
I just thought you might be tired, Florence, dear, and I want to get to bed early.
I'm not even thinking about bed, and you'd better not either. You make sure you're wide awake when I get back. We got a lot to do before tomorrow.
Don't I know it, Florence. Don't you worry. I'll be awake.
Hello?
Sherry?
Yeah? What's happened?
Oh, nothing yet. I just had dinner.
You mean to tell me you haven't got rid of Florence?
Oh, yes.
How?
Well, she just took the cat over to leave at her mother's.
Oh, you know that isn't what I meant.
I know, it's just I'm... Sherry, I don't know.
Henry Green, you listen to me. It's now or never.
But I don't know how to...
Look, if you take those capsules, empty the powder from them into a cup or mug or whatever, and coax Florence into having a nice relaxing drink before bed. What does she like?
Chocolate, but...
No buts, Henry. You can do it. Just put your mind to it and finish
it. I'm sorry I ever started it.
Oh, Henry. When you know you're going to end up with me.
Oh, okay, Sherry. You can trust me. Couple of shots from the Christmas brandy bottle Florence kept hidden in among her foundation garments to keep me going till Florence got back from her mother's. Luckily, by that time, she seemed tired herself, and we were finally ready for bed.
Did you lock the front door and put out the lights?
Florence, how'd you like a nice cup of cocoa before you go to bed? Put you right off to sleep.
Oh, I'd love it.
I'll get it for you.
You can't. I used up the last yesterday.
But you got it. I mean, wouldn't you like something to drink?
Oh, well, I did get a little bit of a chill coming home. I'll take some hot tea.
Oh, yes. Hot tea will be just right. Here's your tea, Florence. Now, drink it up.
In a minute, when I have my hair up. Meanwhile, I have a list of things for you to do.
Me?
Yes. I want you to put out the garbage, check all the outside door locks, bleed the hot water tank and make sure there's no rust, oil the garage doors, replace that burned-out bulb on the basement stairs. Oh, here, it's all listed.
But this will take hours.
Just do as I say.
I don't care. Most of this wait till we get back?
No.
Why not?
I'll tell you when you're finished. Now, on you go. Oh, don't look so pouty. It's something to keep you busy till I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah. Okay, Florence. Good idea. Something to keep me busy till... Goodbye, Florence.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Just goodbye. Florence?
What is it?
Oh, my God.
What is it, Henry?
Nothing. I just thought you were asleep.
No, I just can't relax somehow. Too many things on my mind.
What was it you were going to tell me?
Oh, that can wait.
Oh, I wish I could sleep. Didn't, wasn't the tea any help?
Oh, that. I poured it out. You forgot the sugar.
Poured it out.
I yelled and yelled for you, but you didn't answer.
I must have been outside.
Anyway, it tasted terrible and it was cold, so I just poured it down the sink. Well, how'd you like to bring me another, but with sugar?
It's too late.
Why? It's only just after 10 o'clock.
Yes, I guess I'm so tired. Okay, Florence. I'll get you another cup.
And you used all of the capsules?
Yes. Now, what do I do?
There's got to be a way.
How? Tell me. I haven't got a gun. I wouldn't know how to use a knife. We haven't got a rope in the house. There isn't even any string. And I haven't got the courage to even consider a blunt weapon. Oh, why did I ever get into this?
Look, if you had a razor, couldn't you?
A razor? I don't even use a safety razor because blood makes me nauseous. Just electric.
That's it. Electricity. Take out a fuse and...
I wouldn't go near the fuse box. I'd probably electrocute myself.
Gas. Have you got a gas stove?
Oh, great. All I have to do is say, Florence, I just robbed the bank because I'm in love with Sherry Woods and we need you out of the way, so would you please just stick your head in the unlighted oven so I can smother you?
What's that?
The tea kettle. Blowing the whistle on me. I guess it's only the first.
Wait a minute. Smother. A pillow. Oh, Henry, that's it. A pillow.
What?
You know, like Laurence Olivier in that picture where he had the black face and he held a pillow over his wife's face. And then, it was by Shakespeare.
Yeah, Othello. Yeah, yeah. I might just be able to manage that.
Tea was too weak, but at least it had sugar. Henry, what are you doing standing there with that pillow?
Oh, nothing. Just waiting to come to bed.
Oh, well, turn out the light, for heaven's sake. I'm almost asleep. Henry!
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Henry, what are you doing with the pillow? Come on, it's late.
Who's that?
I don't know. Turn on the light so I can answer it. I don't know what's wrong with you. You had that pillow right over my face. Hello? Oh, Mama. Yeah, what's the matter? Oh, just a minute. Henry, will you get that pillow out of the way so I can talk to my mother?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Mama. Yeah. Hmm? Oh, Pussy wouldn't take his milk. Well, I can't understand. Oh, Mama, I forgot to tell you. Put a teaspoon of sugar in it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's used to it. Oh, no, no, Mama, you're not interrupting anything. I got all the time in the world. Hmm? Oh, well, yes, he doesn't like his litter basket in the bathroom. Unless he's a problem.
I lay there listening to the voice droning on and on, the pillow in my hands, waiting for the moment that never came. Three martinis, two brandies caught up with me, and the next thing I knew...
You fell asleep.
Sherry, I was bushed. I was just knocked out. And when Florence starts talking to her mother, you just don't know.
Oh, never mind that now, Henry. What are we gonna do?
I don't know.
Is Florence still in bed?
No, she got up before me. She's in the bathroom.
Oh, I tell you, Henry, I don't know what to say. I've been up all night, half out of my mind, waiting to hear...
Hold it.
Henry, where are you?
What is it?
It's Florence. She's yelling for me. I'll have to call you back.
Henry!
Okay, Florence. I'm coming.
Henry, I declare I could chop my lungs out and be dying, and I couldn't get you to help.
I'm here, Florence. What is it?
Open the door and come in.
Come right over here to the end of the bathtub.
What's wrong?
I have this terrible cramp in my foot. Oh, it's killing me. Massage it quick, please.
Like that?
Not the left one, you fool, the right. That's it. Oh, grab it and rub. Oh, be careful, idiot. Don't pull it towards you. You almost had my head underwater. You want to drown me?
Suddenly, after all the trial and error, the hedging and the fudging, there it was. All I had to do was grab both feet, pull and lift up, and Florence was helpless and gone. Murder could never be made more simple.
The moment
moment of truth at last. Does Henry have the courage to go through with it? And if he does, can Sherry and he get away with larceny and murder? And having broken the sixth and eighth commandments, will the seventh be worth it all? Those are questions to be answered shortly when I return with Act Three.
Some research experts say you can't taste the difference between beers. Well, if they're right, then Anheuser-Busch wastes a barrel of time Beechwood aging Budweiser. Only they don't think so. Brewing beer right does make a difference. And they're betting a bundle that you can taste the difference in Bud. When it comes to brewing Budweiser, the Anheuser-Busch choice is to go all the way because they still care about quality. Look at it this way. If the Bud people have a choice between what some experts say and what beer drinkers say, well, you'd better believe they'll go with you beer drinkers every time. When you say Budweiser, you said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Club's honor again from Phoenix, Arizona. Final score, Roadrunners 3, the Buckaroos nothing. Scoring in the hockey game, Young and Barlow in the first period. Buckaroos had one goal. Young and Barlow in the first period made it 2-0. Ben Barber made it 3-0. Andy Heverton got the Portland goal from Campbell and Madigan at 7:51 to make it 3-1, and they skated the rest of the way, and that was the finals. Saves, Rick Chiron had 25 saves, 24 saves for Simmons. The Buckaroos now still hold on to fourth place, 76 points. San Diego idle tonight. They have 77. Phoenix now jumps one point out of first place behind Salt Lake. Salt Lake with 80, Phoenix with 79. Salt Lake tonight defeated Denver by a score of 8-0 in Salt Lake. So actually, Salt Lake now has 82 points, so they're 3 points up. We'll be in Salt Lake City Friday night. You'll hear the game on Radio 97. Final score again, 3, Roadrunners, 1 for the Buckaroos. Club's honor reporting on Radio 97 KOIN in Portland, Oregon.
I don't suppose you'd ever want to try it, but in case you do, if your bathtub has an open end, coax any obliging friend to lie in it. Seize him or her by the ankles. Repeat Henry's actions, and they are helpless, even if they are not obliging, and no matter how strong they are. If there's water in the tub, of course, they would drown. That would be surely up to you, as it is this moment, up to Henry.
How long I stood there frozen, unable to move, scarcely able to breathe, after I took the action, I'll never know. I suppose Florence must have thrashed and twisted. There must have been a sound of choking and bubbling as her head stayed beneath the water. I'll never know. I don't remember. All I do remember is what brought me out of my trance. Who's that? Doorbell. Who? Must be Sherry. Yes, Sherry, you gotta answer.
Hey there. Are you Mr. Green?
Why, yes, I am.
Sal Basso here. Okay to move on in?
I beg your pardon?
Well, didn't the missus tell you about me?
Why, I don't, who...
I'm your new tenant. Short term, you know? Just while you're off on a cruise. And that's my family out there in a wagon.
My wife rented you our house?
Yeah. For the 3 weeks till our house is being painted. Just got the painter started today. Hey, wait a minute. Nothing wrong, huh? I mean, I paid in advance.
Mr. Basso.
Basso.
Yes, Basso. You're sure that...
Well, just let me talk to your wife a minute. We can get it all straightened out.
There's no need for that. It's just
Well, I wouldn't want to have to kick up no fuss, you know? I mean, I got the painter started. My whole family and clothes moved out.
I mean, I wouldn't want to drag no lawyer or like that into this, but...
No. There's no question of that. I'm sure if my wife... As a matter of fact, I do recall she said she had something to tell me.
You see, I got the receipt right here. That the Mrs. handwriting?
Yes, that's Florence's handwriting, all right. It's just we've been a little delayed in getting out of the house, and if you could give me a couple of hours...
I am a bit early. Hey, I'll tell you what. There's a horror film in the shopping center movie house. Now, I'll take the family there and give them a thrill and come back in, say, a couple hours, okay? And tell the missus to have a good time on that cruise. And she shouldn't fall overboard or get drowned or nothing like that.
Hello? Henry. Oh, I thought you'd never call. Listen, baby, I'm all packed. I'll hop in a cab and come to your house. You better be ready with the bags and money, and we'll leave for the airport in the first plane. What? Why not? Gee, what? Rented the house. Well, so what's the difference? Why can't... All right, Henry. All right. Don't get excited. Yeah, not on the phone. I'll be right over. I won't. We'll figure out something.
After I hung up the phone, I went upstairs. There was something I had to do for Florence before Sherry got there. She was heavier than I thought, and it took me some time to dry her and get her dressed. It helped since she had all her traveling clothes lying on the bed. By the time I had her propped up in the slipper chair, I was soaking wet and shaking all over. By that time, I knew what I had to do. I opened the door to the basement, turned on the light, and went downstairs. Over in the back corner was what I was looking for, an old wardrobe trunk that used to belong to Florence's father. It was covered with dust and mildew, but I wiped it off with a rag and dragged it across the cellar and up the steps. Just a few steps more. That's it. Now we can get her in the trunk.
I still think we should have cut and run.
Easy now. Get her so she's sitting on the stool inside. We wouldn't have had time to get away. The basso six or seven kids, they'd have been all over this house. Nowhere to hide, Florence. That's it. Now, to get it closed.
I'll hold. You push.
There.
Henry, are you sorry?
I don't know. I'm numb.
I'll try to make up to you for it.
I did it for you. The crazy things a man can do.
Well, at least you're free.
No, not yet. Florence may be dead, but we still haven't gotten rid of her.
Oh, I wish I...
Yeah, so do I.
Just look at me. I'm an absolute frump.
Well, Florence was a bit bigger than you.
A bit? If I had a twin, she'd fit in here, too. I can't go out like this.
This'll cover you up.
What is it?
A raincoat. We're in luck. It started to rain. You can pull the hood over your head, and you look just like Florence.
Thanks a lot. We have to go through all this, Henry.
The neighbors might be looking out, and someone has got to get on that boat with me. They've got to think that Florence came aboard so she can fall overboard tonight.
Uh-huh, and then I sneak off in my own clothes before the ship sails.
I wish I could have you with me, but I can't.
Oh, that's all right, Henry. I'll try to bear up.
There were just too many other things to think of just then. The first, getting a cab. The second, getting it loaded and away before Mr. Basso and his family returned from the horror movie. I envied him. He was just watching one. I was living it.
Okay, Mark. Already. Lift, eh?
Easy, easy. Try to keep our upright.
Who?
They are the trunk.
What's the dip? You got a body in there?
A what?
I'm just giving you a rip. Feels heavy enough for one. That suit you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes. Fine.
You know, you got to be some kind of a nut to think you got to get some old trunk like that on any of today's cabs. Them trucks went out with Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, I'm just lucky you were nice enough to help out.
50 green ones, Mark, remember?
Oh, sure. Here.
Okay, Twyman.
I have to make sure my wife will follow in the taxi.
Well, I'm sorry, I ain't got no room in the truck for three.
I'll be right back.
I ain't going nowhere without you.
Well, we're all set, Sherry. You trail us to the pier. Here, I'll take the suitcase.
It's all right. Might as well leave it with me. Goodbye, Henry.
Well, goodbye for now. Anyway. Jouncing along in that miserable little pickup truck, that last goodbye seemed somehow so final. Could Sherry possibly... But I put that out of my mind. I told myself that everything was working out for the best. Just a few more hours and we'd be home free. What's the holdup?
Search me. This is the line for the pier. Hey, you want I should go find out why it's jammed up? Nothing moving?
No, I...
Hey, wait a minute. Here's a cop from along your side.
Officer?
All right, knock off the horns.
Yeah, mister.
I'm trying to make a cruise ship that's sailing in about a half hour.
That's fine, citizen. Then you're right where you belong. Just stay in line.
But why? What's wrong?
Nothing for you to worry about, I'm sure. Just some nut phoned in a bomb scare. Now, we got to search all baggage going aboard. You want to really help out? You can. Open up that trunk you got so the bomb squad can check you out.
But I can open that trunk. My wife has the keys.
Okay. So where's your wife?
Where's she?
She's in a taxi right behind her. What room for her?
What taxi?
I'll be a son of a gun. That one just pulled out making a U-turn.
Stop her.
Hold it, mister. What's going on?
Hey, grab this little crumb, officer. I should have known he was up his trolley right from the beginning.
No.
Take it easy, mister. You ain't going nowhere.
I bet there's a bomb in that.
A bomb?
Yeah, there isn't any bomb. Let me go. Sherry. Sherry?
Henry, wake up.
What? Florence, where am I?
Oh, I'm not surprised you don't know. Stumbling in drunk last night and waking up the first day of your vacation still calling for a drink.
A drink?
Well, you're not getting any. I hope you have a hangover big enough to make yourself properly ashamed of. Now, you get up out of bed and pull yourself together.
Oh, yes, Florence. Oh, my head. Oh, ouch. What's that?
Your suitcase. Right where you insisted on putting it last night, right next to the bed.
You didn't open it?
I did after you fell in the door with it when you brought it home, and I packed it for you. Now, you'll be on your feet and ready to go by the time I'm out of my bath.
My mind was reeling and splitting in two at the same time. I kneeled on the floor and opened the suitcase. It contained nothing but clothes. No money, just clothes. With a shaking hand, one ear on the rushing bath water, and an eye on the bathroom door, I dialed Cherry's number.
Yes?
Cherry?
Who's this?
Henry.
Henry who?
Henry Green. I should think so. What happened yesterday?
Oh, I wouldn't worry too much about anything. You were kind of cute, really, when you left the party, if a bit wobbly.
Party? What party?
Well, the party that Mr. Mercer gave when you were named vice president.
I was named vice president?
You don't remember much, do you? You even went all for the vault key you were supposed to give to Mr. Schaefer. I have to arrange for you to get it to him today before you leave on the cruise.
Sherry, Miss Woods, did we have lunch together yesterday?
I know.
I didn't have three martinis with you?
Well, not at lunch. At the party. were pretty looped. I called you home last night, and your wife said you'd gone straight to bed without any dinner.
So, it was all a dream.
Well, what did you say?
Nothing, Sherry. I just wish I'd been able to kiss you goodbye. I sit here, hunched like a mouse, remembering the dream and facing the reality. And I wonder which is the real nightmare. I suppose I should be grateful it was only a dream. But on the other hand...
Henry! Henry! Come in here right away! I have a cramp in my foot! I need you!
Henry Green, paper tiger, as it turns out. Grand larcener, first-degree murderer, rapacious adulterer thirsting after a young woman's flesh, but all and only in the mind. And surely to have to go on living with someone like Florence is punishment enough to fit the crime. I'll be back shortly.
There is no mystery about how the 1976 presidential election campaign fund works. If you want to take part in it, you can do so by designating a dollar of your 1973 income tax to a nonpartisan fund. The fund will help pay campaign expenses of presidential candidates in 1976. Just check the box on line 8 of your tax return. On a joint return, either taxpayer may designate a dollar, or both may designate a total of $2. Whatever you do won't increase your tax or reduce your refund, if any. And if you didn't do so last year, you can also check off for 1972. Just check the box above your signature on your 1973 return. Remember, it's entirely up to you whether to check or not. If you need help, ask the Internal Revenue Service.
The wish is father to the thought. The thought is father to the deed. Henry Green only got two-thirds of the way along that path. Even in dreams, he never managed to break the seventh commandment. Poor Henry. But, as I said in the beginning, this was the story of a natural-born loser. Our cast included Jack Guilford, Marion Haley, Bryna Rayburn, Dan Ockel, Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I see it. There's death. The shadow of death over Tim's shoulder. And I'm somehow in the shadow, too. Oh, Granny, why do I have to see it? And still know that I can't stop it?
Oh, no, my warning. Don't wreck your heart with what can't be changed.
I told you before, Granny. I won't sit by if... What is it, Colleen? What are you staring at?
I see him now. They've topped a tree. And Tim's stripping it. He's all alone in a... No! No! I've got to stop it. I've got to stop it.
Dear Mary in heaven, watch over my lamb. Whatever the Lord has marked her for.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News. Still very little news about the feared kidnapping of an American diplomat in Mexico. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The missing man is 31-year-old John Patterson of Philadelphia, missing for about a week now. Details on the case reported by George Nathanson in Mexico City.
A tight security lid remains clamped over the Patterson kidnapping case. U.S. Embassy officials here refuse to comment, while only the barest details have been released by Mexico's Attorney General's office here in Mexico City. According to the Mexican authorities, Patterson was last seen 6 days ago, Friday, March 22nd. Patterson is reported to have left his office at the U.S. consulate about 10:30 in the morning. This was in Hermosillo, and driven off in his car in company with an unidentified U.S. citizen. The car was later found abandoned. Who the other American is, or his present whereabouts, is not known. A ransom note demanding $500,000 is said to have been found under the door of the consulate offices in Hermosillo, but this is not confirmed. George Nathanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
An agreement has now been reached to end the 20-day-old strike by teachers in San Francisco. The American Federation of Teachers had rejected a proposed settlement on Wednesday, but later in the day reversed itself and voted to accept the pact. The San Francisco teachers are to go back to work on Thursday. More news after this message.
Joan Crawford speaks of her early acting career.
One day you'd play a leading lady with Tim McCoy, or 1 week. And the next day you'd play a maid at a walk-on job, which was, I think, fantastic training for me, was for all of us. I don't think we realized that at the time, but to me, I wouldn't be me if I hadn't had that kind of training.
Joan Crawford, Kirk Douglas, Jack Lemmon, Liza Minnelli, Betty Davis, Ingrid Bergman, Dustin Hoffman, Julie Andrews. That's just part of the star-filled cast of The American Movie, a new CBS Radio Network weekend special this Saturday and Sunday. You'll go behind the scenes with dozens of stars, directors, and producers discussing their work, their opinions of changing movie trends, winning and losing an Oscar, anecdotes from their colorful careers. You'll hear actual scenes from some of Hollywood's greatest films. And with host Lee Jordan, trace the history of The American Movie. 30 special broadcasts this Saturday and Sunday on the CBS Radio Network.
In Washington Wednesday night, President Nixon told a GOP fundraising dinner that Republican candidates in this fall's congressional elections can win. The president did not mention Watergate, and he said the administration has a good record in foreign affairs and the domestic economy. But some Republicans don't want to associate their campaigns too closely with the White House. Senator Robert Packwood of Oregon is not encouraging the president to help with the GOP campaign in Oregon.
In Oregon, he would be a liability in the campaign. His popularity is quite low there. The attitude, unfortunately, of Oregonians toward the administration is so negative, so adverse, that association with the president personally is harmful.
Not agreeing with Packwood is Republican Senator Henry Bellman of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma was one of the top three states in voting for the president in 1972, so President Nixon has been popular there, and I believe he still has a wide following. In fact, I would almost bet that the election were being run today between President Nixon and George McGovern, that President Nixon would come in with very nearly as many votes as he got before. Probably he might lose some.
Senator Henry Bellman, Republican of Oklahoma. Final congressional action is expected Thursday on a bill to raise the minimum wage to $2 an hour. The current minimum wage is $1.60. The Senate is scheduled to vote on the measure on Thursday. President Nixon vetoed a similar measure last year, but has given no indication what he'll do this time. Capitol Hill sources believe there are enough votes to override if the president does veto it. The government has agreed to lift wage and price controls from the coal industry. There are some strings attached. Most of the big coal producers have agreed to boost production and limit exports. They've also agreed to limit coal price increases. Now this.
Even if someone served them a slice of beef, they couldn't bite into it. Their teeth are too weak. I'm not talking about some people off in Africa or Asia. I'm talking about Americans, American children. It's tragic how many thousands of them are in this country whose teeth will literally rot in their mouths because they'll never receive basic dental care. They may not even own a toothbrush. What hurts hearts is that it takes so very little for any one of us to help them. The same dollar, for instance, that buys you two packs of cigarettes can buy three American children the first toothbrushes they've ever owned. I'm Cliff Robertson. Won't you give up some cigarettes so some American children can have their first toothbrush? Send your dollar to Americans for Children's Relief, Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. $1. And, of course, if you can afford more, give more.
For some time now, there's been a lot of ballyhoo about the new movie, The Great Gatsby, based on the novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The movie opened Wednesday night, and the New York critics were cool. Vincent Canby of the New York Times says a lavish Gatsby loses the spirit of the book. Canby says the movie sees almost everything and comprehends almost nothing. Kathleen Carroll of the New York Daily News said the movie does not live up to its billing. Even stronger criticism comes from Bob Salmaggi of Westinghouse Broadcasting, who described The Great Gatsby as a Herculean failure. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A 23-year-old former Seattle man now being held in Beaverton has been charged with first-degree murder in the deaths of two teenage West Seattle girls. The King County Prosecutor's Office says the charges have been filed against James Edward Rizicka, who is being held on a rape charge, charged in connection with the slayings of 15-year-old Penny Marie Haydenham and 17-year-old Nancy Kinghammer. The Haydenham girl was found hanged March 12th in a wooded area of West Seattle. She had been missing since February 21st. The partially clothed body of the Kinghammer girl was found last weekend in a vacant lot a few blocks from where the first body was found. She had been missing since February 15th. In a precedent-setting decision, a Skagit County Superior Court judge ruled today that the State Department of Fisheries must file an environmental impact statement before issuing a clam harvesting permit. Judge Harry Fullman issued the ruling in Mount Vernon this afternoon. He also upheld Skagit County's contention that D&G Company of Seattle, the harvester, must apply for a shoreline management permit before beginning harvesting operations. James Johnson, attorney for the Fisheries Department, said the decision marked the first time that a state agency has been required to file an environmental impact statement for this type of permit. A proposed initiative to allow card rooms and casino-type gambling on a local option basis was filed Wednesday with Secretary of State A. Ludlow Kramer. The proposal was sponsored by Gary Bacon, manager of an Ocean Shores restaurant and chairman of a group called Citizens for Local Option. A key to the initiative was a clause giving cities and counties the right to control what forms of gambling are allowed in various areas. Teachers in the Beaverton School District vote today, Thursday, on a strike proposal. The district is Oregon's fourth largest. The president of the Beaverton Education Association, Jim Chambers, predicts a close vote but says he thinks the teachers will strike. About 800 of the district's 1,125 teachers are association members. The association and the district have failed to reach salary and fringe benefit agreements in negotiations that started in October. Superintendent Boyd Applegarth said the district will keep the schools open in case of a strike with non-striking teachers, supervisors, and parent volunteers. The head of the Bonneville Power Administration, Don Hodel, says the United States should consider restricting advertising that promotes sales of electric appliances. He told a group of utility executives today, "It is important for consumers and utilities alike to save on energy." He said the government should consider tax credits for utilities that promote energy conservation. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver. Showers tonight decreasing today, Thursday, with partial clearing. Rain likely again Thursday night, becoming showery on Friday. Continued mild, the lows in the upper 40s, highs 60 to 65 degrees. Southeast winds of 10 to 20 miles per hour, occasionally gusty. The present temperature stands at 49 degrees.